Good morning, family, church. It's a privilege. Really, it is. I've been just wrestling with the Lord for the last maybe month. Before we go there, I'm Sherman. Just so that you're smart, looking smart. You see the shirt? Yes. Because you know, I don't know why, yeah, but anyway, maybe it's, anyway, beautiful wife, Stacy, we serve you on the eldership team, and what a privilege it is for me to be here. I've got three daughters, which has been a blessing to me, and over the last couple of weeks, they've been teasing me a lot. I don't know if it's just to get the less of me out type of thing, like stuff like soldiers don't wear slippers. Because I would shout in the house sometimes, I'm a soldier, you know, encourage yourself. And then my beautiful daughter would say, but soldiers don't wear slippers. Because it'll be in my slippers at home, you know, my comfortable shoes. And then she's like, okay, which is true. We need to be equipped. So as I was saying, I've been wrestling with this word and just wrestling with the Lord and going to and fro about what he wants to share with us as his church, because he has an idea. He has thoughts about us, and he has plans for our lives. And I don't want to just speak out of Sherman, because Sherman is smart. Yeah, my surname is Smart. I had to throw it in there. But I don't want to speak things that I can just say. I want to speak and hear what he has to say. And then I want to obey as much as possible. If I hear his voice, I want to say, like, Lord, no matter what happens, I want to speak to people, even if it makes me look silly. Even, like, at school, I'm a school teacher, for those who don't know. I would speak to the kids, and they'll be like, that's not cool, sir. Because who talks about God, you know, to a 17-year-old, and that's not the way we tell. But I really wrestled with the Lord, and I'm like, Lord, whatever you want me to say, whatever. So I do believe, and the elders, they're going to correct me afterwards if there's anything that I've missed. But I also want to encourage any one of you, anyone, not only the elders, but anyone, that if I speak anything that's not from God, that's not from the very word of God, then I want you to come and say to me, Sherman, I didn't see that in the Bible. And you might be wrong, yeah. I want to ask that you do approach it humbly. Because I will also approach it humbly, because I can get things wrong. That's the truth. So come and speak to me afterwards. Like if I've missed something, I'm open to missing it. But I really feel that the Lord is on this. And the thing that came to mind was, or to my heart actually, was this of resilient faith. And then this morning, you know, there's this thing of what happens when we have resilient faith. It's actually, when I look at resilient faith, I look at someone taking a punch, boom, getting back up. And taking another punch, boom, getting back up. And you're walking this journey, and you go, boom, another punch, and you get back up. And you don't give up. It's that thing, bounce back every time. That bounce back effect. And the definition even of resilient faith is faith that endures hardship. So you can put yourself in any one of these categories. Doubt in the mind, there's stuff going on in the mind. Delay, something that you were hoping for and just doesn't come. Opposition. So faith that endures hardship. Doubt, delay, and opposition. But here's the thing, it comes without giving up. It comes without quitting. Keeping on, keeping on. And that's the faith that we need. It's a faith that can go through purification. And there was a word this morning as well, like that of the refining of gold, actually. The refining of gold, what does it look like? And there's impurities, and we see it, And then we go to the refiner. We say, this is a little bit of gold here, but there's some impurities in between. And that needs to be burnt away. And there's, for some of you might know the process much better than I do, but what happens is when the gold gets refined, it goes through heat of 1,000 something degrees Celsius, and then the impurities start to fall away. It gets washed clean, this gold, so that at the end of that whole process, only pure gold remains. So the refiner goes and he refines this gold. And like in Malachi, actually, I'll go through some of the scriptures, and I'm going to ask you to go with me, because obviously you have your Bible here. But Malachi was a prophet, just to give you some context on Malachi, and he speaks to the Israelites, and he asks questions. Actually, he's asking, who can endure? Who of you can endure? He's asking, like, you know, and he then says, who can stand? Who can stand? And ask ourselves the question, who of us can stand if Jesus was to come right now? Like, how pure are you? Have you been refined? Are you going through the refining process? So I believe there is a choice in that as well. Like, you can choose, you know, I've been knocked down too many times. I'm not going to go through that again. Or I'm not going to go to the next level. That first level was too tough for me. But Malachi asked the question, who can stand? Who can endure? And in Malachi 3, verse 3, if you can maybe. He says to the Israelite people, he says, he will sit, this is God the Father, he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. And they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. So here's the thing. He will sit. Can you imagine God the Father sitting? And he's going like this. I want to be specific. I want to make sure that that impurity goes. This one. He's sitting. He's not standing and being like, okay, somebody else do. No, God the Father goes. Tians, I want you to be pure gold in front of me. I'm going to take this impurity. But it's going to be painful. It's not going to be through your comfort. Because it's going to be heat. It's going to be a lot. But would you, I know what you should look like at the end. So that you can stand before me. He goes, that little bit, this little bit. I'm purifying you. I'm purifying you. So he sits. And often we go, Lord, I want to seek you. I want to seek your face. And it's good. Yes, we must seek him. But can I also add that when we say we're seeking him, we're saying actually, Lord, I'm seeking fire. I'm seeking heat. Because I'm here willing to go through the purification. Through the refiner. So I don't want to say be careful and don't ask to seek him. I want to say seek him. You will find him. But you'll find his fire. Are we willing to go through it? So also, if you are in the fire, so I want to touch on all of us. If you are in the fire, it's a good thing. So if you are going through trials and tribulation, it's a good thing. Now you're like, oh, Sherman, but how much more? I don't know how much more. I can't tell you that. But he can. He's doing it for your good. He's going, yes, let it burn. Let it burn. So that at the end, it's pure gold. You are pure, my pure, spotless bride. I want you to go through this. Are you willing to go through this? So count it joy. Yeah, I know, difficult day. But count it joy. James 1:2-4 says, consider it pure joy. Not just a little bit of joy. So now and then, you know, when you get to breathe a bit, that's the joy part, but everything else is pure joy. Every part of it. Every part. Pure joy, brothers and sisters. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, he says, I'm just going to drink a bit more. Are you with me? But before we go through any refining, before we go and get made pure, there has to be a clear exchange. I'm talking about ladies and gentlemen, family, brothers and sisters. It's like this, and then it's like that. A clear exchange of, I was going this way, but now I'm going the complete opposite way. It's not a, what do they say, 360. It's a 180. See, I know my degrees and stuff. I'm not a maths teacher, but I'm smart. So, I was going to make another joke, but no. It's not just knowing God. It's not just coming to church on a Sunday. And I know some of us have lots of effort to come here and make it, but that's not going to make you a Christian. It's not just reading your Bible every now and then. It's not what you want. It's what He wants. It's not His will. I mean your will. It's His will. The Bible says that even the demons know God. The demons know God. So if you're walking around and say, I know God, a demon around the corner can also say that. The thing is that they shudder at His name. It's not only about knowing God. It's His heart beating in your chest. It's His ways above my ways. And I know that we know the scripture in Ezekiel 37, about the valley of the dry bones. But, if we look at just before that, in Ezekiel 36, it says that God speaks to Ezekiel and He says to him again, as a prophet, a messenger of the Lord, saying, go and speak to my people. Their bones are dry. They're not buried. Here's the profound thing. They're not buried, but they're dead. I'm like, what? And He says that I will give them a new heart. What do you mean a new heart? I will give them a new spirit. New heart. Not your heart. A new one. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, not outside of you for reaching and stuff. It's within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. It's completely new. And we need to have this exchange before we can go through the refining of the fire and the heat and the stuff. Because if it's gonna be our old heart, it's just going to burn away. It's not pure. You were not born pure. You need to have an exchange. And it's not okay just to say, I'm a Christian, because you're not Muslim. I will cause breath to enter you, and you will come to life. For my name's sake. That's Ezekiel 37. It's a story of hope, actually. It's a story of hope. It says to the people, like, you once were, I'm not going to just I'm not going to leave you. I want to give you something new. New heart, new spirit, so that you can be pure for me. It's like, what God does this? He says, you're sinning against me. You have evil ways, or you're dead actually. But I'm not going to bury you. I'm going to give you something new. And I have the privilege of having my colleague here this morning. And I did ask him if I can share a bit on his story a little bit. You can change your mind now. It's fine. Okay. And he's going to correct me if I'm wrong afterwards. But what happened? Yeah. It was about 3 weeks ago. And he's been going through some stuff. And it was just by the hand of God that we were both off during this time. And he had a car accident on the way to work. And me sitting together. And the presence of the Lord is with us. In that time, he hasn't given his heart to the Lord. And he's like, sir. Because we call each other sir, obviously. Teacher, you know. Sir. It's tough, man. Things are just like, you know. But I know there's something going on. Something going on. And we just leave the staff room because we don't want to make it awkward for everybody. And we go outside and we get to talk a bit in the parking lot. And I ask him, so what's stopping you now from giving your heart to the Lord? And he says, nothing actually. And it starts to rain. And he says, let's go inside. I'm like, whoa, we can't leave it there. Let's go stand by the avdaki. But we must continue this talk. And it was such a privilege for me to be there in that time where we got to pray together. He gave his heart to the Lord. And he just said, like, and I was praying and I'm like, Lord, give him a new heart because I know your word says you're going to give us a new heart, Lord. So even now in Jesus' name, please just give him a new heart. That heart of stone, just give him a heart of flesh. And I'm going back to the scripture in my mind and I'm like, I don't know what is going on, but Lord, just give him a new heart. And eventually we say amen. And he's standing like this. I'm standing over here. What did you do? And I'm like, just as confused. I'm like, what do you mean? And I'm thinking, maybe it's the rain. The rain stopped now all of a sudden, but I don't manage the rain. And he literally says, like, he goes like this. I don't understand. I don't know what's going on. What did you do? Like, I really don't know what you mean. And he says, It's here. I feel different. I'm thinking different stuff. I was so heavy just like 10 minutes ago, but now it's something. And I'm like, I know what he done. He just gave you a new heart. He just gave you a new heart. And I'm like, what a miracle. Right there. And we can't explain it, right? But he's saying, I've just been given a new heart, brand new heart. I don't feel this heaviness anymore. I feel like light, but just it's so full, and it's like light and full, and I'm just confused because he's saying heart, and I'm like, ah, did I know it's him? Because there's nothing else I did. I was just praying. That's me. So if I'm wrong, you can, you know. That was it. That was it. And it, like, it just hit me there. And even over the weeks, we've been talking every day. Every day. Coming to me with scripture, and I'm coming to him with scripture. And we're just chatting, and it's exam time, so the kids are writing exams. We're off. We're having lunch together, and we're talking about his new heart. And eventually, a couple of days later, he says, his fiance that's sitting next to him now says, but you a baby. And he's like, yes, I am. Because it's a new heart. It's brand new. I'm a baby, and I'm learning, and I'm growing. And I'm like, yes, because it doesn't end there. It starts there. It starts there. New heart. And now he's going through refining and he's concerned about friends and losing friends. And he's like, it doesn't matter. Because it's maybe not the way I wanted things to go, but that's a new heart. It's new things. It's now not my will, my rugby. Ex-Western Province. Not my rugby, you know. It's his ways. It's his will. What do I do? His ways. And there's refining happening. And like Lee said last week, we need to be devoted to Jesus. And we need to feed that spirit that he's given us. And it's a non-negotiable, church. It's not a once-a-week thing. It's a every single day. It's daily. If I've got a new heart, I've got new ways, I've got new things to learn, and it's daily by the Father, daily being poured into that spirit and being like, I actually feel like I want to go this way again. No! Because I'm feeding the spirit. I'm feeding the spirit. And it is daily. We run the risk of feeding something else if we don't feed the spirit. I'll repeat that. We run the risk of feeding something else if we don't feed the Holy Spirit. And you can think of it. It taps on your heart. It's like, how comfortable can I get tonight because it's cold outside? Do I really need to read the Bible again? Part of this caution, I really felt like we need to look at again at churches, you know, because when we look at something that Jesus looks at, he says to us, I'm going to look at this church and I don't want you to be like that. So Durbanville, take note. Like type of thing. He's saying to us, you know, take note. There's some stuff in this church, maybe 2,000 years ago, that I don't want you to look like. But there's also some of this church that has what you have. And I want you to continue. But we need to look at it and we... Oh, so it's actually introspection to me. It's actually saying, I need to compare myself. And I know that word comparison is not good, but yet it is good. Because if we don't, we run the risk of feeding that other things. So what? How do we feed the spirit? And I want us to, we'll look at it now. In the Laodicean church, got the try and say Laodicean. Yeah, you see, because I told you how to say it, but read it. Yeah. And it's John, the apostle, not champion, but you're so disciple. He gets this vision, and I believe he was taken up into heaven. And it's amazing because he gets to see this church, and he gets to see that church, and he gets to see that church and speak into that church and the seven churches. And it's so profound because he gets to see their bad and their good. They're bad and they're good. What to stop doing and what to keep doing. And yet God says to him, speak to them. Speak to the churches. Let them hear what I have to say about them. Let them cut away. Let them go through the refining fire. Let them turn away from their ways because I want them pure before me. What is God saying to us as a church? So in the Laodicean church, see, I'm good at this. In Revelation 3:15, I know your works. You are neither hot nor cold. Now, I'm not saying that we are hot or cold. I'm not putting that on us. But we have to do some introspection because we want to go through the refining fire. We want to go, are we hot? Are we cold? I would have that you are either hot or cold. So, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. Not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to what? I counsel you, church, to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich. So that you may be rich. And white garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. And salt to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. I'm just going to hold it there. Be zealous and repent. I want to ask, what comforts do we have? Are we willing to go through the refining fire to be purified for Him? Are we complacent? Are we comfortable? Because you cannot go through heat in your comfort place. Heat is there to make it aina. Are we passive? Are we actively advancing God's kingdom? Because if we have a new heart, that's part of our hearts now, is to advance His kingdom, not my kingdom, not my investment, not my savings, not my kids, not my wife, but His ways. Cannot have one foot in God's kingdom and then one foot in my kingdom. He says we'll be spat out on that last day. That's not what we want. We want to be purified for that last day. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, the one who goes through the refining, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. And it's that thing of, he's not going to leave us. He's with us. He's saying, I want you to sit with me. This is our reward. This is our reward, going, man, it's difficult. This life is tough. I'm not alone, though. He's with me. And His reward is Him. His reward to us as a church is Him. And we have to ask ourselves, is that enough? Because if it is enough, then the other things don't matter. Doesn't matter. And it's easy for me to say it now because I've processed this for the last month. And it's easier for me to say it, but it's not only for me, it's for all of us. He's willing and He's able to sit with us. Refine us. Purify us. For His name's sake. For His name's sake. Like my colleague said, it's not how we start, it's about how we end the race. I want to play us a video, and some of you might have seen it before, but you can have a look at it again through the lens of what God is doing. Behold, I stand at the door and knock.